Hello everyone, how are we all doing today? It's been a hectic few days, but finally we're getting back to a bit of normality now, or whatever the hell normality is in my life. I sincerely hope you all had a great Christmas or holiday period, be it with your family or by yourself. Luckily, for the first time in a long time, technology and the antisocial networks really shone, and it actually helped us feel kind of connected in this weird little situation we're all in. It was definitely a strange one, but nothing a bit of food and a bottle of Jameson's can't actually sort out, right? I had a pretty good time. It was a small little thing just at home, but did the usual FaceTiming of family and dropped their presents off on the doorstep on the Christmas Eve prior. It really was a nice little change up, and in fact, for the first time, I've actually had Christmas away from home. And I won't lie, it was kind of nice. You watch what you want on TV, do what you want, no god-awful Christmas jumpers. It was kind of ideal, actually, come to think about it. But I'm off work now, and luckily I've got a bit of time to myself to recuperate, doing God knows what. I'm reading a few good books at the moment, so they should keep me blissfully occupied and away from boredom, spending, and, of course, losing my mind. But what about you guys? You got time off, or you back to work already? If you're back, I'm kind of jealous, I won't lie. I'm the kind of guy who can't just sit still for too long. I get bored way too easily, which is a good thing in a way. It's benefiting for the show because I'm always coming up with new plans and new topics. But, of course, if you follow the Instagram, the polls get to decide the episode, and you guys wanted some awesome ghost stories, so here we go. Today, at some point too, I will be designing the hoodies, and they will be up on the Instagram most likely in the following days. So, don't worry, I am being productive. Also, the first part of that haunted anthology, or whatever I'm actually going to call it, is nearly complete. I'm excited, it's turning into quite a spooky little gothic novel. It's not how I intended it, but I'm digging it. I really like where it's going. I've gone on enough, so here we go, and let's dive in on some spooky ghost stories. So the first story is coming out of Oregon. Hi everyone, I haven't updated anything in a long time, busy and the page is always down when I get the chance to write. But here's what's been happening. This happened to me only a few hours ago. I was walking from my bus stop to my house, which I say is about a good quarter of a mile. I kept walking, getting this weird feeling like something is watching me. Well wait, let me get back to track last month. I went to a concert that I shouldn't have. There was a lot of hate and death thoughts at the concert, and I saw two very tall figures staring at me. They followed me home and joined my beast in tormenting me. Okay, if I missed something already, who's this beast that's already tormenting her? So back to today, I could feel the pressure all around me, which hurt at times, like I was suffocating. I got to my house and no one was there. I don't like being home alone much anymore because my experiences happen most often when I am home alone. I had to go on my computer to work and do some things for school, so I was sitting there when I heard someone calling my name. It was a whisper at first, but it grew louder, calling, "Free us, free us, free us." I didn't know what us was. Then my beastly voice broke into a call in its morning. He laughed his normal hideous laugh and said, "Are you going to free them, Tirsa?" Okay, I presume Tirsa's her name. It doesn't actually say it anywhere, but yeah, I take it Tirsa's her. I couldn't take it anymore and I ran out of the computer room, but stopped in the hallway. The beastly one was at the end of the hallway. He was facing the front door, so his side was to me. My room is next to the computer room, so I backed up slowly so he wouldn't see or hurt me or anything. There is also a mirror at the end of my hallway, and I saw three figures inside of it. One of my beastly fellow, and two from the concert. I hid into my room until I heard the front door open. I jumped and looked to see if anyone was home, but no one way. No one way? No one was? Okay. I figured one of them must have just opened the door. Michael suddenly came to mind and I called out to him, "Michael, please make them leave. Make them just go away." I heard heavy breathing on the other side of my bedroom door and then it fell silent. I could hear the rain falling but it wasn't raining and I could still hear "free us" in my head. Does anyone think that this is weird? I could hear the rain falling but it wasn't raining. Does anyone have any suggestions on what I should do about my newcomers? I've tried dirt, sand, salt water and no such thing is working right now. It's getting out of control and I really need some help. That's quite disturbing. So if we break it down, so she was having this beastly kind of entity mocking her, laughing at her, which was happening prior, and now she's added two new tall figures. So yeah, is it some kind of attachment? They kind of said that she shouldn't have been at this concert, obviously because it was a negative thing. Because there was lots of hate and death thoughts, apparently. So, it's interesting. Was it some kind of belief thing? I know a lot of people, if you kind of come from a strict family, they obviously wouldn't want you to go there. And it could have their beliefs kind of pushed onto you. And of course, breaking their beliefs goes against your beliefs, and it could be some kind of manifestation of that. Which is a coincidence because it's happened just after this, but it's interesting regardless. Good story. The story was actually from 2008, so hopefully this has stopped and you've got some help, but I think something's trying to tell you something. So, next one's in California. I've experienced hauntings in two family homes. It started when I was 14 when I was taking a shower. A cold breeze hit me and I first thought nothing of it. Jesus, you should fill my bathroom. I felt it again when a weird feeling came into the pit of my stomach. So I got out, grabbed a towel and my clothes and went to the bedroom to get dressed. While I was drying off and dressing at super speed, something I couldn't see let out a nasty growl on the right side of my mum's bed. I ran out of there immediately. Later, my bed began to shake at night. I thought perhaps it was me being paranoid and shaking and therefore shaking the bed. So I had my brother sleep with me. He woke up before me and he woke up because he felt the shaking. After that, me, my brother and sister all slept in my mum's room with the doors closed and locked. I would hear things moving around in the front room and see shadows in the hallway and hear whispers. I was home alone one day and I brought my dog inside. I was too scared to go out to the back room, so I had my dog wait outside the door. There was a loud crashing noise from my room and my dog ran away. She wouldn't go back there again. After we moved from that house, our neighbours started hearing things. This was my first but not the last experience. We later moved into a house a family friend lived in. For a while I was okay, but then I began having nightmares of things attacking me, making me not able to speak or move. It was horrible. And one night a friend stayed over. I never told him of anything involving my experiences with ghosts. He saw something in the hallway from my room and asked if the house was haunted. Alarmed, I immediately asked why. He had seen the figure of a black man looking into the room. I was so scared. I like to pretend I never felt anything in this house, but once he told me this, I couldn't just ignore the problem. His friend came over to pick him up and he couldn't believe the activity or evil that was in this house. He told me he had two dogs that lived there, among other things. I've seen one of the dogs on two occasions. Both times I thought it was just my dog, but quickly realised it wasn't. The first time I saw it, I only caught a glimpse of white legs and paws. The second time I saw it was I was getting into the fridge and I glimpsed a white dog face to my right. For once, I didn't feel threatened by the spirit. Later on, I could hear knocking and scratching at the walls coming from the outside. There was like a loud vortex or sound coming from the backyard. My dog would bark and freak out sometimes, and I thought it was odd that never once did my family wake up from him barking. I became too scared to fall asleep and knew that I had to stay up all night and wait for daybreak to go to sleep. I later found out that my friend's friend, that he just knew the land I lived on, and it had been a landfill some years ago. It didn't register with me until I remember a neighbour boy telling me the same thing a couple of years prior. I now live in an apartment by a cemetery, nice choice, huh? And have a daughter. Sometimes she'd just watch something in the apartment that I can't see or hear, and she'd just stare. It scares me for I don't want her to be able to see or feel things that I do. It's awful and horrifying. Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't let that scare you. It's a gift in ways, and you shouldn't kind of negate that from your daughter. But, yeah, I'll carry on with the story. We'll get back to that. Another experience I had was in Fairfield, CA, at Rockville Cemetery. A former boyfriend took me there late one night because he was bored. The second I stepped onto the soil, I got a bad feeling from the place. I felt as if I was being watched and followed. I didn't see anything or hear anything, but that feeling was overwhelming, and I made him take me back to the house. I will never again go back there. A lot of people from the area have told me stories of their experiences. It seems to be a very haunted place. But these are my stories, and they do lack some detail. I became an insomniac and developed a phobia of people breaking into my house and of spirits. I have had to have an animal with me wherever I live, for I believe there is something there that they will know. I sleep only against a wall with my back facing the wall for fear of something coming up behind me and touching me. I could go on and on. So yeah, getting back to it, you shouldn't kind of push beliefs onto your child, and if they're seeing things or experiencing things, you shouldn't kind of diminish that. It is, in ways, a good thing. It's a gift in many ways, having this kind of sixth sense and experiencing all these things, which in normality, a lot of people actually can't, so it's an interesting story nevertheless, and there is something really to it. that having pets and everything along that lines, that they do kind of have a heightened sense of experiencing things, because you always see a dog or a cat, they just stare intently at like a corner of the room and just look really freaked out, right? But it's when you look, there's nothing there. And yeah, it's really peculiar. I don't understand. There needs to be some kind of scientific survey. I know animals and pets all have heightened senses anyway, but are they perceiving something on a different plane that we can't actually understand? It's, yeah, it blows my mind. It's a strange one. I was in the third grade when this happened to me, and I will never forget it. I was in class and needed to use the restroom, so I asked permission from my teacher and went downstairs to the bathroom. When I walked in, as I was passing the stalls, I caught out the corner of my eye a black shape about the same size as myself. I was terrified. I stopped and went and looked back there, but there was nothing there. I left immediately. A week or so later, I went to class to wash my hands for lunch. I had to go to the bathroom, so I went into the first stall whilst everyone else went on lunch. I could see on the floor that the stall next to me a pair of tennis shoes and jeans. I thought it was my buddy, so I reached out with my foot to kick his foot, just messing around. I kept reaching but could never get to the foot. I looked back once more to find nothing there, and I'd been in the bathroom by myself the whole time. Soon after having these experiences, I started seeing more and more. But not just at school, now at home as well. I live with my mum and my little brother. We've been in the same house for months now, and I started hearing whisperings and seeing both black and white images floating in and out of bedrooms, but always disappearing in the doorways. That one night I was laying in bed trying to get myself to sleep when all of a sudden I felt like something was laying on me and I couldn't breathe. My mum came in and tried to help me. She prayed with me and gave me the Bible to keep under my pillow. Whatever it was left me alone that night, but seeing the shadows continued. A couple of months ago my mum had to have surgery on her neck, so we went to move in with my aunt and uncle. I swear this thing or things moved right along with me. I'm still seeing the shadowy figures and hearing things. Is it possible for something to follow you? Because that's what I feel like is happening. I really like to tell it to leave me the hell alone, but for some reason I don't think that's going to help. Any suggestions? Well, yes. It is very possible that something can follow you. It's actually quite more of a common phenomenon than an actual haunted place. Attachments, we've covered this a few times now. Attachments to objects seem a lot more stronger. And then, so that could be an attachment to you, an object you have on you, anything like that, that you bring with you. It's, yeah, it could be something they've held dear, some kind of energy is trapped inside it. Whatever it is, it can easily be attached to you. I won't say 9 times out of 10, I don't know the figures. But it is quite uncommon to actually have a haunted house. Or maybe it starts with a haunted house, but then the energy somehow manifests itself and becomes attached to you. It seems that that's the common way, because a lot of people, they're like, oh, just move out, get a new place, and you'd think, okay, yeah, sure, it's that simple. But no, it's going to follow you wherever you go. You need to deal with this directly and get rid of it from the source. So hopefully these shadowy figures have left you alone. But the other bit you had when you were asleep and your mum, yeah, when you were asleep and it felt like something was laying on you, that is a common experience with sleep paralysis as well. But you've already had these kind of experiences of seeing things, so I won't kind of say it's definitely sleep paralysis, because you've had these prior experiences that could lead on to that. It's, yeah, it's a mess, but I hope you're doing good. I really do. Now, over in Canada, nice, the place I want to live. I'm not sure if it counts as proof of my ghosts. I thought maybe I was just going crazy, and the old house we used to have had a lot of weird experiences. The house felt bad, just to be honest. It was just this uneasy feeling, a feeling of being watched and not in a good way. I remember I got to choose which bedroom would be mine when we first went in, and instead of the bigger one, I went to the small room at the end of the hall. It just felt nicer than the rest of the house. We had a lot of weird experiences there, and a lot of them were creepy. None of our pets would ever step foot in the basement, but I'll write about those later. What I really wanted was your opinion on what I think is a ghost. In this bad house, my room always felt very safe. Nothing really bothered me past my front door, and things I would lose would just turn up in very obvious places when I spoke to them out loud. Now, I always joked about ghosts in the house, and tried to be nice to them in an effort to have them not scare me. But when I moved out, whilst packing, I had run out of tape. Somehow, when I stopped for supper, the tape was put back in plain sight of the box. On top of the last box I packed, actually. There was only me and my mum there, and she had spent some time helping me look for more tape, but said there was just none, and we went all over the house from top to bottom. So, being me, I said, "Oh, thank you, ghost. You've always been nice, and you can come with me if you want." Oh, shit. Now, that's something you don't want to say. Jesus. But Canadians, they're all nice people, right? Now, when I moved into my apartment, both me and my boyfriend would see a shadow. Oh god, here it comes. Only briefly. Move through the hall once in a while, and when our cats would play with invisible friends as if they were playing with them. Things would go missing and then turn up when I needed them, just like in my old bedroom. Lots of times, but I didn't want to make up too much space in this story. We have since moved again, and once again while leaving. I think I might have a bit of fondness for it. I said it could come with me out our new place, and the same stuff as usual, finding things in weird but obvious places, shadows, lights on and off, etc. What I want to know is, though, is it possible for this ghost to follow me? I don't have any experiences before moving into the bad house when I was about 13, and anyone I was close to had died way before then. I can't tell if it's a guy or a girl, or if they even know me. It's just weird because I sense that it doesn't mean any harm. Even if it scares us sometimes with pranks, I'm now 20, so this has been ongoing for many years. And my boyfriend now believes me due to the things he's seen and heard, and he isn't much of a ghost fan. Any help would be appreciated, thanks. First things first, you're lucky. It seems very nice. It seems like it's actually doing you a favour and actually looking out for you, which is very good. Because there's a lot of ways activity can get bad real quick. But you have been, like, the nicest person dealing with a ghost. You've invited it to multiple places now, and it seems to just tag along with you, so that's great. So it's definitely, like I said in the previous episode, the previous story, it's definitely got an attachment to you now. But it does seem to kind of look out for you. It could even be, like, a guardian spirit in ways. Just because purely of the fact it's helping you maybe in later life and having more experiences, and hopefully no bad experiences, but in ways it might show that this is a guardian spirit and is actually protecting you. So you never know, you're definitely quite lucky there. I mean, a lot of ghost stories you only ever hear about the really bad things, because when it's all happy and nice things like this, it's very rare to get a happy ghost story. And it would be a happy ghost story from Canada. Amazing. So now we're over in Ireland, back across the pond. As most of you have read already, I had my first encounter with a spirit. Well, I've missed that one, so let me just have a quick look. Okay, so this guy, Alan, has had a ghost experience when he was 8. And it's happened twice more. Right, let's get back to it now. So this story is the second time, a decade from my first experience. I was working in a petrol station on the North Circular Road. My shift was a graveyard shift. I always liked where they got that expression from. Nice. I'd peel barcodes from expired newspapers, restock the shelves, and then serve a handful of customers. But I mostly sat down and reading a good book, listening to music and have a smoke. I've now since quit. It wasn't too difficult of a job. So one night I'm sitting down at the window where I'd serve customers, book in hand, which I'd read already but was rereading, feet up on the till in front, totally just chilling out. What I was missing, of course, was one of my cigarettes. Picking up the box of smokes from the shelf, I realised that I had none left, but no matter, for they were only just behind me. I wouldn't even have to move from my seat. Told you, this was a handy job. If you're working in a petrol station, should you be smoking? That sounds dangerous, dude. I placed my book in front of the camera screen, which had three cameras pointing out towards the forecourt, and one looking down the aisle in front of my till. So reaching behind me, I picked up a packet of John Player Blue, my personal favourite brand, and went to pay. Nice, good input. Jesus. Unfortunately, I had to get up this time because my wallet was in my jacket in the staff room. I went and got it and paid for my smokes and took one out, lit it and went back to pick up my book, and just froze. On the camera was a man standing in front of my till. I must say it before I continued that up until this very moment, I had another spirit encounters, yet I still froze. And I freeze every time I see something extraordinary. This was bad news for two reasons, and the third one to follow. One, the front door was locked, magnetically. Nobody was in the shop I checked earlier, or could even get into the shop. Two, it was him, the first ghost I'd ever seen, standing in front of my till. I stood staring, transfixed at the screen for a few minutes. Eventually, I looked up from the screen to where he would have been, but the area was empty. This would have been okay if it wasn't for the third thing, who was still on the camera when I looked back down. This continued for 5 minutes and then he just turned away from me and vanished. 5 minutes. Jesus Christ, that's a long time, especially when you're panicking. I smoked every cigarette in that box and 10 more in a row. It's 30 cigarettes, dude, you need to chill. This time there was no voice or touching, but he left a mark. I could still feel his presence. After this, I never worked the late shift, but I did the afternoon shift instead for a few months, then quit to work in the clothes shop. Shame. I really liked it there. Third encounter story to follow. Okay, so he's got more. We'll check them out some other time. But I've already found a few more other stories which I want to include before we run out of time. That's definitely a pretty creepy one. Having actually seen the guy, and you see this in a lot of horror movies, right? It's typical of a jump scare you kind of see on a screen. You're looking at the screen, look up, empty space, look back at the screen, then next thing you know, you've got a nun in your face, right? Yeah, it's not good. It seems typical of a jump scare, but you've actually experienced this in real life, and that actually sounds traumatic as hell. I don't blame you for downing all those smokes, and I probably would have got the hell out of there. But I'm a pussy when it comes to this. I love the paranormal. I like being scared, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to run away. Off to Arizona. I should start... All these stories are in the States, man. We've had like one from Ireland. Damn. I should start by saying that I've experienced paranormal activities ever since I can remember. The particular instance was the first one I can actually recall in full detail. I was about 4 years old. Okay. That's quite young, but... I can recall in full detail. Okay, fair enough. I'm trying to think if I had any memories from when I was four. I remember one of my birthdays, I had this like really cool Wallace and Gromit cake. Might have been 4 or 5. And it was sick, like custom made. I loved it, man. I love Wallace and Gromit. I still do to this day. And I had like a birthday party and I didn't even get a slice. They gave the slice away. Sad. That must have been traumatic because I was about 4 or 5 and I remember that, so... I get you there. I was about 4 and would have nightmares through the night. I would wake up sweating and sometimes crying because they frightened me so bad. What would scare me even more was what I would see when I opened my eyes. Mind you, I was fully awake at this point. I would always see just across the room a floating head of sorts, usually with a skull or demonic looking face in the middle. It was generally white and misty. I would squeeze my eyes shut, trying hard to tell it to go away, and reopen just to have it there staring at me. I remember them focusing on this being, making sure that it wasn't just a shadow or something in my room making that shape. I realised that it sounds ridiculous that a 4-year-old can have enough insight, but I always had been mature for my age. I would pray and pray, but nothing would ever happen. Eventually, I would become so terribly overwhelmed with fear that I would begin to scream and bang on the wall that separated mine and my parents' bedroom, begging for my dad to come in the room with me. He would drag in there, push me over and lay in front of my twin bed so I lay against the wall. At times I would peek over to see if he was still there, and 9 times out of 10 it still was. My dad was unaware and just went right to sleep. At any rate, this being still haunts me to this day. It definitely isn't as frequent as it was when I was younger, but I'll know it when it appears. The presence in my room will be strong and so dark that I begin to shake, but can't physically move to turn the lights on. I become paralysed with fear. If anyone has any ideas how to send this terror back to where it belongs, that would be amazing. I've tried several rituals, but it always comes back no matter what. I'm tired of being scared and tired of being terrified of the dark. Okay, so firstly, don't do any rituals that you don't understand fully, because that is a gateway to a whole lot of negative energy. And yeah, it's like people doing a Ouija board and thinking it's a joke and not closing the board and just being a dick and ignoring the rules pretty much, because that's how you get a lot of activity, right? So yeah, obviously... said you were praying, so it's good you're religious, it's good to have faith. Use that against whatever this is. And yet the fact that you're actually still being haunted is, it's peculiar. The only thing I would suggest, like I've suggested many times, is speak to a professional. I don't know how old you are now. If you're still living with your parents, try and convince them. Or like you said, you're doing rituals, so that's a start. Obviously understand the ritual itself. Try something simple as just saging the house and trying to cleanse it. And if your mum asks what you're doing, just be like, it's good for the air. It smells nice. Or tell her the truth. Don't be like me. And work around it like I always do. But yeah, I hope this goes for you. It's to have just a floating head that I can't quite explain that, but this is the paranormal. There's so many things. Like, I've covered stories, I think, even last week, about just an arm appearing out of nowhere and trying to drag people down with them. So it's possible energy finds any way it can to kind of manipulate itself and make itself seen. Maybe it doesn't have enough energy to make a full-blown apparition. So it could be that, in a sense, that is actually doing this. So hopefully it's... yeah, hopefully you can get some help and try and seek some help. And this actually happened in 2008, so I know it was a long time ago, but I hope you're doing okay now. Let's have a quick scan through the comments. No, she hasn't actually replied to any comments, so there's no follow-ups. So yeah, fingers crossed, I hope you're doing good. It's a shame, I'd like to be able to like contact people on this site. And you kind of can, actually. Oh, maybe we should talk to some people on this site, that sounds interesting. I think I'll do that, you know. Sounds good. But that is it. I hope you all really enjoyed today's episode. It's been a bit of a last minute thing since having Christmas and everything this week. But of course, I still wanted to get an episode out there. I know some of you listen as soon as these actually come out, so I didn't want to let you guys down. I can't even speak. So I didn't want to actually let you guys down. So rain or shine, Christmas or lockdown, you'll still be getting your regularly scheduled Sunday night episodes. If you have anything in mind you want me to research or look into, or if you have any stories yourself, of course do let me know. You know all the places we're at, that haunted show on Instagram, which you guys should definitely follow. It's a fun place and probably the easiest way to get in contact with me. But you can, of course, email your own stories or message just for a chat over at thathauntedshow@gmail.com. It's always a pleasure speaking to you amazingly spooky folks out there, and I love it. It's one of the favourite things I enjoy about doing this show. And while I'm on the topic of plugging myself, sorry guys, but I gotta do it. If you could leave a review, just make it honest. I'm not begging for 5 stars here. On Apple Podcasts, it would just be greatly appreciated. We are nearly on every platform I could possibly imagine now. And if you want to find the show on all the socials, there's a link to my website, as well as on each and every show note. On my site, you'll find links to every listening platform and our full repository of episodes. And we're nearly hitting that big 2-0, which is a huge milestone, 20 episodes, man. I never thought we'd actually get that far. And finally, if you're feeling super festive or still drunk, or you just want to be amazing in person, there is of course a donation tab at the top right of my site that will take you to my Cash App. Now, I don't use Patreon or anything else. There's no ads on any episodes. I purely do this as a hobby because it's something really interesting and that I'm passionate about. Like, this is my bread and butter. I love the paranormal. But if you do want to help out, I'd be super grateful. So, of course, have an amazing new year and I'll see you on the other side. And as always, stay safe, stay spooky, and good night.